True Spirituality, Meditations by Pastor Weigel, that's me, on the book by Dr. Francis Schaeffer. The question before us is what the Christian life, true spirituality, really is, and how it may be lived in a 20th century, and I've added in, 21st century setting. So we've been looking at freedom from the bondage of sin. That's really salvation. The present tense or the past tense of salvation, that is the salvation where we are justified from our sin. And then secondly, freedom from the results of the bonds of sin, and that's sanctification. This is how we overcome the sin in our lives. So we were looking at freedom from conscience, the guilty conscience, avoid the two wrong concepts, and then embrace God's plan to conquer the effects of sin. But we're dealing now, with the idea of freedom for our thought life, not freedom from the thought life, but freedom for it. And we were talking last time about the importance of the concept, the concept and the importance of it. So continuing on from that thought, we see this importance of the thought life again in the encouragement for the believer to change the procedure that you were in before. We see this in Ephesians 4:17b-21. He is revealing to us here the thought life of the unsaved Gentiles. And I mention this because he mentions the Gentiles, but he's not just saying as opposed to the Jews. He's talking about the Gentiles being the untaught, the ones that never had the Bible. The Jews contacted them. They saw that they knew nothing of God, the true God. They were barbarians. They were people that had no concept of the truth. So he says in the last part of verse 17, Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. This is emptiness, but it's not just talking about ignorance, but it is ignorance, but it is more than that. It's what they have is meaningless. They have filled their lives, their heads, with vanity. And vanity is a sort of a synonym of the idols. So you have the gods that they invented. You think about this. God created man in his own image, and now sinful man creates gods in their own image. It's a crazy, crazy situation. So man that can't create something as little as a living fly, you know, creates gods. And this is just vanity. So Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And why is their mind empty, meaningless? Having the understanding darkened, being alienated, separated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. So this is the condition of the unsaved Gentiles. They didn't have the word of God. They didn't have the preachers of God. So now Paul shows that their condition came because of the scarring and the callousness of their heart. He goes on, because of the blindness, which is the word meaning hardness, of their heart, who being past feeling, this is why I go more with the alternate reading of hardness, the callousness, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. I was looking up the word lasciviousness, trying to get a working definition of it, and I realized that the concept that I heard growing up in the 60s, let it all hang out, that's lasciviousness. That's do whatever comes to mind, just do it, you know, just let it all hang out. That's lasciviousness. So their past feeling, their conscience no longer, their heart no longer sensitive. And so they have given themselves over. People are always complaining, why does God let these bad things happen? That's what they chose. And he said, not my choice, it's yours. This led them, choosing that way, led them into utter abandon in uncleanness. He said they went the whole way. To work, continuing the passage, to work all uncleanness with greediness. You get that? I can't get enough uncleanness. Please give me more filth. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So, backed up a bit there. Then we see that the born-again saints, since they had heard the gospel and had been discipled, taught, did not learn Christ-likeness in that way. They did not learn to live their lives in that way. But you have not learned Christ, if so be, that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Pilate asked, what is truth? The answer, Pilate, is the truth is the way things really are, not how you imagine it, not how you have invented it, not your pet philosophies. It's the way things really are. God is the only one, we'll get to this, but God is the only one who can fully know how things really are. And therefore, he's the only one that can adequately express it. All right, so Christians are urged with the same priority of thought life. How do you begin your sanctification? How do you begin becoming holy? How do you begin becoming Christ-like? And the answer is in your thought life. Notice this in Romans 12. If you remember that Romans, like much of Paul's writings, that the first eight chapters are talking about the doctrines. 9, 10, and 11, he steps aside and starts talking about the Jewish problem. If all this was known by the Jews, how come they're rejecting Christ? So he deals with that. Then in chapter 12, he begins the second half, which is the practical application to our lives. And chapter 12 begins with, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead one, that's no good, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable. And be not conformed to this world. All right, how do we do that? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to think differently. Renewing. This is renewing back to the way it was with Adam, the way man was made. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, put to the test and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He wants you to try it. He wants you to do it. He wants you to step out in faith and act as though what God said was true. Act as though it would really work. Act as though it will be better for you. And guess what? It is. So you prove it. You put it to the test and you prove it. Present your bodies acceptable unto God is based on you not staying in your old way, you see, but instead being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we have to think about it before we'll do it. We have to change the way we think. Now let me share this with you. In Romans 1, we have seen before, a couple of times actually, the progress of degeneration. It began with the mind. They were not thankful. They didn't glorify God as God. This was a thing of the mind. Then in Ephesians 4, which we'll look at, a process of learning had changed their lifestyles. And now in Romans 12, the mind was to be renewed. So this changing of the mind, this changing of the attitude is not just merely an attitude or a spirit, but demands doctrinal content. This is learning things that will change the way you think and therefore the way you do. This isn't a pep talk type of thing, see. Here's the reality. And so learning truth involves propositional statements of true learning. We are hearing today from theological sides that it's not about doctrine. Oh, doctrine divides people. It's all about having a spirit of unity. Well, that's the devil talking, because he doesn't want you to learn the truth, because when you learn the truth, then you think truly, and then you act truly. See? But if it's can't we all just get along type of thing, then everybody can just do whatever they want. The Ephesians 4 passage that we were looking at earlier continues by explaining the duty of true Christianity. Let's look at that. Verses 22 to 24. That you put off, notice it's put off and put on. Put off the old, put on the new. It's a replacement concept of life. That you put off concerning the former conversation, which means manner of life in this case, you put off the former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt. That's the word rotten. It's decaying. According to the deceitful lusts. Now that's the thought life. The desire is the thought life, you see. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Again, thought life. And that you put on. So you're renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then you put on. You put off, but you can't just live with a negative. You have to put on something that replaces it. Put on the new man. The new man is actually patterned after the resurrected Christ. He took on a new way of life, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And the King James margin here says that could mean the holiness of truth, you see. The holiness of the way things really are. So notice that, the holiness of truth. Truth is the way things really are, and God alone can fully understand it. We can grasp it, but he can fully understand it, and only he can adequately explain it. We have to go to the Word of God, God's Word, to understand what is the truth, and through the lens of his understanding, we look around and see that's the way things really are. We do this in other things. When, you know, you were growing up and you were convinced that you were the center of things and that the sun moved around the earth, then the science tells you, well, actually, the earth is turning, and as it turns, that light, which relative to us is pretty much stationary, we just see it. It's like going around on the merry-go-round, seeing the parents as you go around and around. Did I say it right? Merry-go-round? That's what goes around that thing. Not the Ferris wheel. Okay. And that's the thing, that the parents aren't orbiting you sitting on the plastic horse. You are revolving, rotating, and you come around and see them again and again. And that's what happens with us and the sun. So now we see, it still looks like the sun's, and relative to us, the sun is moving. Movement is always must be defined by the relativeness of it. But we understand there's a better way of thinking about it and that we are the ones moving. So you can live your life understanding a truth that doesn't seem apparent. So it is with God. You see it through his eyes and you understand a greater truth. In Ephesians 5, 15 to 17, he then says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly is circumference. You're looking all around. I always think of the Southern Belle with her big hoop skirt and trying to walk daintily across that muddy road, you know. And you have to turn like this and just make sure that it's not tipping, it's not dipping, it's not doing all that. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. This is the mental thought, the mental process again. Redeeming the time, buying up the time, the season of opportunity, because the days are evil. Buy up your opportunities, you see. make full use of your opportunities, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You see, the contrast then is between walking as fools or walking as wise. Being unwise or understanding. So, I hear other preachers preach. And they are very often far more stirring than I am. But that's about it. They'll get you stirred up. My passion, my goal, is to tell you something that will stir you up, you see. I'm not trying to stir up your emotions just for the sake of having you emotional. I can't deal with that. But I can tell you the truth as God has revealed it and let you see things the way you should. That's my personal goal. Ephesians 5:18 then, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The person who's filled with wine, you can tell. Tell by the way they smell, by the way they walk, by the way they talk. It's evident because the power of the wine controls you. He says, don't do it that way. Be controlled by something else. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit within you. Be filled with the Spirit. So here is the power to accomplish the dramatic and needed change in your life. I don't think I can do it. You're right. But the Holy Spirit can do that miracle in you. Trust. Try it. Prove. Prove it. Through the Spirit's control, as the passage goes on, we're to do three things. Chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Counsel your inner self with Christian music. That's what he says. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody, okay, maybe not out loud, but in your heart to the Lord. Counsel yourself with spiritual music. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. The three divisions are probably referring to psalms, the songs you sing that use the very words of Scripture. Sometimes we were singing, one of the Bob Jones ones was came right out of the Psalms, but we also sing, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, came right out of the Scripture. We can call that in the category of the psalm. Then the hymn are like we were singing, these are the songs of worship. This is about God. And then spiritual songs. Those are everything else. This is the testimony. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. It's the testimony song. Those are the spiritual songs, the account of spiritual growth. So use them to counsel yourself. See? I'm always amazed. I go down to Heritage and I say, let's sing that song. They say, boy, that's the first time we've ever heard that song. Wow, it's one of our old favorites. You know. Well, people, we must be weird here because We try to sing all of them, you know. Because there's so many good ones that take your mind in places maybe you didn't go before. And with the music, you learn it a little bit, you can remember these things. Great words. Imagine a church where there's only, you know, 10, 20 songs that they ever sing, that you ever learn. Kind of monotonous. So, counsel yourself, your inner self, with Christian music. I think you should have it going at your home. Now, I don't mean 24/7. Sometimes hard to go to sleep that way. But when you're not doing something that you have to concentrate on hearing and seeing it, listen to Christian music. Let it be your background music. Let it be your subconscious background music. Then, second thing, turn your life into a life of praise instead of grasping ambition. How can I get more? How can I be more? How can I have more? Start showing contentment by praise. He says, giving thanks always for all things. Wow, that's a lot, isn't it? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was our Savior. He turned us to God the Father. God the Father is the one who gave us the blessings, so we thank Him. You say, well, not everything has been pleasant. God didn't intend it to be pleasant. But in the hard times, in the storm of life, God is going to be leading you. The third thing then is this, and with this we close. Dedicate your life to loving service to others for God's sake. This is what you're supposed to be focusing on. It's not gaining stuff for yourself. Loving service. How can I help? What can I do? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You say, why would I do that? Fear of God. Love of God, understanding what He's all about, and this is what He says you're supposed to do. So, counsel yourself, your inner self, with Christian music. Turn your life into a life of praise. Let that be the first thing off the top of your head. And dedicate your life to loving service to others for God's sake, for Christ's sake. Comments or questions?